From Hollywood, California, and an Allied base in Naples, Italy, Autolite brings you Everything for the Boys, the command theater of the air starring Mr. Ronald Coleman, and his guest for tonight, Miss Martha Scott. Everything for the Boys is presented by the Electric Autolite Company and its 22 great manufacturing plants. Builders of precision equipment for 35 years. World famous for Autolite spark plugs, batteries, wire, cable, and electrical systems for automotive, aviation, and marine use. Your host, Mr. Ronald Coleman.
Thank you and good evening. The web of our life is of a mingled yarn, good and evil together, said Shakespeare. Undoubtedly, Mr. Shakespeare was looking over my shoulder at the playbill tonight, for there's good and evil in the story of the play we're doing for you. Then a shortwave conversation with two Canadian soldiers in Naples, Italy, completes this global half hour, which we dedicate to all the men and women of the armed forces at home and overseas.
First, a thought. An invasion beachhead has no docks, no wharves. Tanks have to wade ashore, their motors roaring at full efficiency and power. Water must not stop their engines. And splashing water does not stop our tanks. They wade ashore, ford rivers, plunge through water-filled bomb craters. In thousands of these tanks, an Autolite splash-proof ignition coil transforms 24 volts of Autolite-generated current into many thousands of volts of electrical energy. Yes, these splash-proof ignition coils are something new for Autolite. Yet it is only natural for an organization of men and women who engineered and manufactured ignition coils for automotive use in peacetime to produce a splash-proof ignition coil so necessary to the amphibious operations of Allied mechanized forces. The technical knowledge they have gained in years of ignition engineering has stood them in good stead. Under severe conditions, the performance of this waterproof coil is proving absolutely dependable. This new unit is another example that the name Autolite means precision manufacturing. And now the play, The Girl on the Road, a radio play by Arch Obler, suggested by a Louis Adamick short story. The players, Ronald Coleman and his guest, Martha Scott.
You say 5 gallons, mister?
Yeah, I said five.
Okay, just wanted to make sure. Check your oil or something?
No, everything's under control.
Let me see, that'll be a buck and one C-stamp.
Knoxville.
Oh, about 15, 16 miles. Sure getting cold, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
You know, yours is the first car that's been through here all morning.
Yep, times have changed.
Used to have all the cross-country traffic along this road.
Well, those times will come again. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Yeah, cold day is right. 16 miles. There's been time for lunch. Who's that on the girl? Out here? You want a lift? I say, do you want a lift? Well, girl, what's the matter? Don't you hear me? Why are you standing? Hey, don't faint. Holy. Come on. In the car.
My suitcase, please.
I'll get you in first. I'll get your suitcase. There.
Suitcase, please.
Here's your suitcase. I'll close the door on this side and come around. Better? Oh, the wind's like a knife. But what are you doing on the road? Where are you going? Oh, wait a minute. You're frozen. I think I'd better get you to a doctor.
Hello?
right.
I still think I ought to get you to a doctor.
No, I'm all right. I want to rest. Do you have a cigarette?
I'm sorry, I haven't.
Where are you going?
Oh, I don't try and talk. Just rest.
Where are you going?
Oh, going east. Where are you going?
Chicago.
Oh, that's a long way off. You're going to hitchhike all the way? Why, George, I hadn't noticed you. You're very young, aren't you? Miss Gale, we've reached the town. How would you like a cup of... Oh. Asleep. All right.
What do you have?
A cup of coffee, please.
Okay.
Have you any sort of hot sandwich I could take out?
Nothing to take out for the duration.
Well, could I have a cup of coffee?
Yeah, sure. Here you are.
Thanks. I meant another cup to take out to someone else in the car.
Why don't you come in?
Well, she's sick.
Boss won't like it, but... to heck with the boss. I'll get it for you.
Thank you very much.
I wish I could fix a sandwich, but I can't. Boss is the cook, and he's down at the draft board. Here you are, and it's hot.
Thank you. And this is for you.
Thank you.
I'll bring you the cup right back.
Okay.
Girl, wake up. I brought you some more coffee. Why did you scream? There's no reason to...
Hey, what's the matter here? What's the matter, lady?
Oh, it's all right. It's nothing.
What do you mean everything's all right? She screamed, didn't she?
Yes, yes, I know, but...
Yeah, all right. Why did she scream for?
What's the trouble here? What's the trouble?
Well, she screamed, officer. Yeah, and this is the guy.
Look, officer, it's very simple. She was asleep, and when I woke her to give her this coffee, she screamed.
What did she scream for?
Well, that's what I'm asking.
Who are you, mister? Where are you from? Who's this girl?
Why, she's...
Jim, why don't you tell them to mind their own business?
Huh?
Well, this man's my brother. I've been sick. He's driving me home.
Well, what did you scream for?
Because I was asleep and I was dreaming and waking up suddenly startled me, that's all. Now, why don't you people just go along and mind your own business?
Okay, move along.
There's nothing to it.
How do you like that? Just try to help somebody and they tell you to mind your own business.
I'll have that coffee now, mister. You don't understand. I've been talking to you, but you haven't understood at all.
Oh, I think I have.
No, you're a nice person. You just can't understand what those people might have done to you if you told them the truth.
Well, is there a law against doing a good deed?
See, you don't understand. They wanted to think the worst of you. They wanted trouble.
Oh, you're quite a cynic for, what are you, 19, 20?
20.
It's rather coincidence. Jim is my name. James Dornan. What's yours?
Mary Stevens.
Uh-huh.
Mrs.
Yeah, I saw the ring. You're feeling all right now, aren't you?
Yes. Well, how far are you going?
I am curious to know why you're hitchhiking in this kind of weather.
Does that radio work?
Uh-huh.
May I?
Sure, go ahead.
And each and every one of us must remember that this war is our war. Ours to win or lose. Ours, the victory's in
defeat. Oh, quiet.
I thought you wanted to listen to the radio.
But I changed my mind.
Someone close to you in the war?
Do you read palms, too?
I told you. I have a questioning mind.
All right. I just saw my husband off to his embarkation point. He's a soldier, infantry. He's got a gun he's going to shoot and get shot at. Are you satisfied now?
No, I'm sorry.
What do you do?
I'm a writer.
Yeah?
Yes.
I suppose I'm material.
I'm doing training books for the Army. I go from camp to camp. This is my last trip.
I just got through doing that.
Did you?
Uh-huh. Everywhere he went, I went. until this last... No, don't be sorry for me. Nobody has to be sorry for me.
I'm glad you're going to be all right.
Sure I am. I'm going to get back to Chicago. Move back in with my mother, and I'm not going to go anywhere or do anything until he comes home again. Do you hear me? Until he comes home again.
Quite a way to go yet.
Oh, I fell asleep.
You hungry?
No.
While you were sleeping, I've been thinking about you.
What about me?
Oh, I was just thinking how sad it is that the very young always have the largest crises. What a pity the larger problems don't wait until we're older and mature enough to contend with them.
I haven't got a problem, Mr. Anthony.
No.
No. Say, your radio's gone dead. Dead radio, dead world.
Don't you think it's foolish in times like these to tear oneself apart with thoughts like that?
I have a right to think.
Oh, of course you have. And you've the right to hide away in your mother's house until the war's over, if that's what you want.
You said before that the young always seem to have the troubles. Why is it that as soon as somebody gets a little older, they start talking sermons every time they open their mouths?
The truth is a sermon?
All right, I don't want the truth. I want to be left alone. You haven't talked for miles.
You asked to be left alone.
Listen... 2 days, I've been getting rides with all sorts of people. I've had to fight off some fellow with a California license plate with a dozen hands. And I've had to sit for 50 miles and listen to some salesman telling me about the trouble he's been having with his wife and a truck driver who's mad at his draft board. I mean, you come along. Now we've gone for miles and miles and... You don't talk to me.
Oh, no. I took you at your own word.
Why can't you see it my way? Look at me. I haven't slept in a bed in a week. My clothes and my shoes. I spent my last dollar getting to where Freddie was. Well, now what have I got ahead of me? Nothing. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. Nothing. It's my right to do what I want to do, isn't it? Isn't that what they're fighting for? Why are you stopping?
Oh, just to light my pipe.
Oh. Well, why don't you answer me? Isn't that what they're fighting for? Why don't you talk to me?
Well, I've been listening to you.
Well?
I'm wondering what you're so terribly afraid about.
Afraid?
Yes.
Why should I be afraid?
For the last 2 years, I've been going from camp to camp and from one embarkation port to another. I've seen women afraid for their husbands, but with you, it's more than that. I've had that feeling ever since you screamed when I woke you. It's in your face, the words as you say them. Why are you so afraid, Mary?
You're a writer, all right. Yes, you are. You make up stories as you go along, don't you? Afraid. What kind of a story is that you're making up? Where are you going to have it printed? Happy Confessions?
Tell me, Mary. Please.
We had such a wonderful time. It was only 3 days, but it was like all the fun in the world put together. That's all we were married, 3 days, and now I'm scared. I'm scared.
Of what?
When he comes back, will he come back to me?
Oh.
Will he still want me? All the things that'll happen to him, the places he'll go and the things he'll do, will he want to come back to me?
So that's it.
That's it. That sign said city limits.
Yes.
I must be a sight.
You can take the handkerchief out of my pocket.
Oh, no,
I... Go ahead.
I am a sight.
No, not at all.
I never could put lipstick on straight in an automobile.
Mary.
What?
This fear that you have. Many people have it these days. It's a fear of the future. Where will they fit in that post-war world everyone's talking about? Sometimes it's a fear like yours. Will someone still love me? Or it's a fear of whether there'll be work for me, or will my hands and brain be out of key with new conditions? Well, there's no certain answer. But there is a way of life in these times that can give you and me a hope for a good life in the future.
Tell me.
Oh, I'm no wise man. All my life I've done pretty much what I wanted to do, but now I'm wondering, doesn't the answer to this problem of the future lie in each of us right now, giving up the privilege of acting as if we were the center of the universe? The privilege your Freddie and millions of others like him give up when they go out to fight for us. Mary, I don't think we need be afraid to face Freddie and the rest when they come back. If each of us do what we can, as best we can...
I'll never get the chance.
Well, why not? Answer me, why not?
Because the money I spent while I was with Freddie... I told him a crazy story about some insurance my father left me, but it was my mother's, not mine, and I can't go home now. I'm sick and I'm tired and I can't go home. Is this as far as you're going?
I'll be back. I have a telegraph blank, please.
Here you are, sir.
Thank you. General George. War Department. Pentagon Building. Washington, D.C. George. Ignore my previous wire. We'll stay on the job. Regards, Jim Dornan. Would you send this off right away? Straight wire.
Yes, sir. That'll be $1 even with the tax.
All right, here we are. Send it right off, will you?
We will.
There we are. That didn't take long.
No.
Now, sir. It's your turn to get out.
Oh.
First, here's something for you.
Money. It's money.
Oh, yes, yes, of course. Now, you go in and buy a ticket. Go home.
Oh, but oh, no,
why do you think I stopped in front of a railroad station?
No, I couldn't
now,
possibly.
Look. Your mother will welcome you home. That's as certain as that money in your hand.
But why should you give me...
You've got to get home. You've work to do.
But I...
Look, here's my card, my name and address. If you can, someday, send me the money. If you can't, well... Mary, a place like this doesn't have too many trains a day. You'd better hurry.
What? I
know. Goodbye.
Can I kiss you?
Of course.
Your wife won't mind when she knows why I kissed you.
She won't mind.
Goodbye. And thanks.
Goodbye, Mary. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have just heard Mr. Ronald Coleman and his guest, Miss Martha Scott, in Girl on the Road, written and directed by Arch Obler, with the musical score by Gordon Jenkins. In a few moments, if those unpredictable little gremlins who taunt the shortwave lanes are in an amiable mood, Mr. Coleman and Miss Scott will talk to two Canadian boys at an advanced base in Italy. But first, speaking of your automobile, you can't baby your car too much these days. Immediate attention to the little faults will keep your car rolling, add to its life and economy. Items such as having your spark plugs cleaned regularly can do a great deal towards stretching your gasoline ration. It only takes a few minutes for an expert with special equipment to clean your spark plugs. And while he cleans them, he will examine and properly gap them. Ask your local car dealer, your serviceman, or any one of the thousands of Autolite spark plug dealers for plug check inspection service. It can increase your mileage as much as 12%, according to tests conducted by the American Automobile Association. If any of the plugs are found worn or faulty, replace them with new Autolite spark plugs. Autolite spark plugs are ignition engineered. They have proved to be dependable and long-lasting. That's why many builders of cars, trucks, and mighty war vehicles use Autolite spark plugs as original equipment. They know the name Autolite means precision manufacturing. Now, Mr. Coleman again.
We all know what letters from home mean to our boys, and their letters mean as much to us. Here's a portion of one from a soldier to his parents. From a prison camp, he writes, "This place is almost like an army camp. Long rows of barracks, even a garden and a library. Only difference is that it's surrounded by a tall barbed wire fence, and wherever you look, you see guards. The food is different, too. But we have someone taking good care of us. Every week, a big Red Cross food package arrives. When the Red Cross says they're at the soldier's side, they're not kidding. Ladies and gentlemen, we, too, are grateful for the Red Cross."
All right, Mr. Coleman. The circuit is through to Naples, Italy.
Good. Now, Martha, just imagine we're good neighbors hanging over the fence and chatting with a couple of Canadian boys in the next yard.
Oh, you mean right down the street in Naples?
Right. Napoli. Now, put on these earphones and we're on our way.
Without even dialing a number?
Oh, without even a nickel in the slot. But here we go. This is Ronald Coleman and Martha Scott calling Naples, Italy. Come in, Naples.
We're in, Hollywood.
Hello there, Naples.
Hello, Mr. Coleman. This is Squadron Leader Bert Holtz speaking.
Greetings, Bert.
And this is Private Rod McKenzie.
Pinch me.
Pinch you? Well, shortwave's wonderful, but it hasn't got around to pinching yet.
Oh, hello, Miss Scott. I just meant I wasn't sure if I was dreaming or not. I'm wide awake, Miss Scott.
Hello, Bert.
And not only that, Ronnie has a wife in Toronto and I haven't. And a sleep year.
Oh, hear that, Martha? Bert says it's leap year.
Yes, I know. So, I propose...
What's that?
I propose that you tell us how you downed those 11 Nazi planes.
Oh, well, I didn't make love to them, Miss Scott.
No. There's nothing romantic about Nazis, no.
Nothing at all, especially over Anzio. The Jerry's really got ugly over the beachhead.
Say, did you get any planes over Anzio?
Yes, four.
Four? Well, that's quite a score, Bert. What kind of plane do you fly?
The best, the Spitfire.
Uh-huh.
You're commanding officer of your squadron, aren't you?
Yes, the City of Windsor squadron. And incidentally, I'd like to send my thanks to the people of Windsor for sending us those cigarettes. They sent us over 3,000 since Christmas, and my boys say thanks, Windsor.
Yes, and I'm sure the people of Windsor will answer with, "You're very welcome."
Bert, we called your home in Massey, Canada, and have a message for you. Your mother hopes you'll be home for Easter.
So do I. I was just going to send her a message that I'm coming home sometime soon.
Oh, you're coming home. You hear that, Mr. and Mrs. Hoole? Your son's coming home.
It's a furlough, Mr. Coleman. I got a wound in the neck last month. I'm okay, though. I'm just coming home for a rest. But I want to get back in time for that second front. You might say, Mr. Coleman, that Jerry gave me a pain in the neck.
Yeah, I see. Say, Roddy McKenzie, we haven't heard from you.
Oh, Mr. Coleman, you know us infantrymen. We let the fellas of the RCAF soften the place up, then we follow through and take over.
Yes, I've heard that before, yeah. How are you, Roddy?
Well, they call this sunny Italy, but it just rains and rains and rains.
Oh, yeah. You mean they have a high fog in Italy, too?
Roddy,
Tell us how you captured those two Germans in Sicily.
I just took them, that's all.
And that's enough.
Roddy, what do you miss most from home?
My wife. And my kilt.
And your kilt? Your wife and your kilt? Did you say kilt?
Yes. I have to leave my Davidson Tartan kilts in England.
Oh, I know what you mean, Mac. I wore kilts in the last war, and a good Scot doesn't like to be without them.
That's a fact, Mr. Coleman. I wish I had mine with me now.
With all the rain you've been having, Roddy?
Oh, sure. I like water on my knee.
Well, we can't quite send a waterproof kilt over on the short wave, but we've something else for a member of the 48th Canadian Highlander. Roddy, a friend of mine here has something to say to you. Go ahead, Tommy. How was that, Roddy?
Dynamic, Mr. Coleman. Dynamic.
Well, now, time's almost up, but I'd like to know one more thing. How are you boys getting on with the Yanks over there?
Great. After all, it's natural for Canadians to be fighting beside Americans. At home, we live beside them.
Yeah, we're Americans, too.
That's right.
Time's up.
All right, time's up, fellas.
Have a nice trip home, Bert.
Thanks, and good night.
Good night. Good night. Good luck.
God bless you.
You know, the need of Private Mackenzie for the waterproof kilt brings to mind the story of General Montgomery, who, shortly after he had driven the Germans out of Africa, sent an urgent message home from Italy for some waterproof or Macintosh pants. An eminent bishop, who was leaving for Italy to visit the troops, took the pants with him, together with the following verses, which were actually written by General Nye, and delivered to General Montgomery with the pants. A message to General Montgomery, quote, "We've dispatched pour la guerre a Macintosh pair of trousers and jacket express. They are coming by air and are sent to you care of the Bishop of Southwark, no less. So wherever you go, from Pescara to Po, through mud and morasses and ditches, you undoubtedly ought to be braced by the thought that the church has laid hands on your breeches. We think they'll suffice, as they should, at the price, to cover your flanks in the melee, and avert the malaise, in the Premier's phrase, of a chill in the soft underbelly. And you'll find, so we hope, when you call on the Pope, that his blessing's more readily given on learning the news that your Macintosh crews were brought down by a bishop from heaven."
Again next week, Autolite invites you to be present for this new global half hour, Everything for the Boys, uniting the home front with the battle fronts overseas. Your host, Ronald Coleman, will have as his guest Miss Barbara Stanwyck in an original comedy by Art Kobler titled Austrich in Bed, dedicated to a pair of our fighting men who will speak directly from an Allied base somewhere in the Pacific.
Our thanks to Martha Scott for being with us tonight. Until next week, when we bring you two fighting men at the Pacific base and our guest Barbara Stanwyck, this is Ronald Coleman saying good night to you and the boys, and God be with you.
Be with us again next week. Until then, it's good night from Autolite.